Welcome to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. This show is a weekly conversation about all the things you should know when buying, selling, or maintaining your home. Join in with your comments or questions. Call or text 222-1180 or 800-295-1180. Now, live from the News Radio WHAM 1180 studios in downtown Rochester, here are your hosts, Jeff Schofield, Mike Reed, and Andrew Schwert.
Happy Mother's Day and welcome back to House Talk. This is Jeff Schofield with RE/MAX Plus.
Mike Reed with All County Inspection Services.
Jamie Messner with Premium Mortgage.
So we usually give our little bit of our update. I think what we saw, doing my analysis of how many homes were listed, you're still in the ballpark. We're like, 180 single family condos and townhomes went on the market. Last week we had, 2 weeks ago, I guess, so they came to, contract right after the show, three homes sell. And we can go into that a little bit later, but they all sold at asking or above, significantly above for one. And I think you're still doing it because you've done a couple inspections, but you said ancillary inspections, mold and mildew and that type of stuff.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of the outside of the real estate process inspections, quite a few of those. We are still doing traditional home inspections, and they're very, very market specific. We seem to be in the city. We're doing a lot of inspections, and then the outer suburbs. So not even really suburbs, into the rural areas. But your Fairports, Greases, Victors, Hiltons, all of those are fewer and further between, just because there's fewer houses for sale and a lot more competition in those neighborhoods this time of year.
Jamie,
yeah, still seeing a steady stream of people getting pre-approved. So there's definitely still want out there to buy, and just hoping for more inventory.
We, out of the three that we sold a week ago, we did two of them with the delayed negotiations, and both of them sold for over asking. We had one that was a straight sale. It was a rehab, and, they got a full price offer. So everybody was happy. We had, I think, 25 offers on one, and which was kind of interesting because the owner wanted me to fax over every single offer to her so she could review them. And I thought, I do this for a living, and it's confusing when you go through that many. But one thing that we see that's, good for the average buyer, I had really no cash offers out of all three properties. They were all, the rehab was a cash offer. The other two, normal home selling, to a family, I assume, were, subject to mortgages. One of them did have premiums, cash guarantee, and that actually won it for them.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that's, we've been picking up a lot of investors. Also, we're doing a lot, and we didn't do them for a long time. We're doing a lot of FHA, VA, HUD loans, things that are being secured, through some kind of government funding. That had gone on the wayside for a while, and that seems to be bringing itself back into the fold. I just think that shows a slight shifting in the demographic. A lot of the houses that we're getting now are in need of some, I wouldn't say significant repair, but definitely some TLC and some love. The ones that need significant repair seem to be going more towards investors. And they're almost houses that would be too much for a DIYer to take on. Cracked foundations, complete electrical service upgrades, things like that.
Yeah.
So.
I get questions. I get text questions on mortgages, what people qualify for. And, somebody goes, well, can't you just figure it out? They're asking me that. And I thought, back 30 years ago when I got into the business, we used to actually do that. We'd figure out the ratio of what their debt, their total debt, and what their housing and how much payment they could afford and what kind of house that put them in a price range. But now there's so many mortgages, so many options, and so many special features, connected with each mortgage that we don't even bother. I mean, I don't think anybody does. And the culture's changed. We used to meet with people. Now, when somebody calls me up, they're interested in seeing one of my listings. I go, well, have you talked to a mortgage person? Are you going to be paying cash? And, then I have them call you or call Andrew or, somebody from Premium, and, you go through the process. But I was wondering if you could take a little bit of time and talk to us about some of the different mortgage programs and then maybe some of the enhanced, enhanced grants or credits and stuff that people can go over. I mean, you know, it gets confusing from a seller's aspect. I mean, we all know cash is king.
Right.
But unless the cash, if the cash offer is $50,000 less than somebody that's pre-approved from Premium, yeah, we don't care. We'll wait for Premium to write us a check for $50,000 more.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different types of programs, and they all have different qualifying factors. So if looking at ratios on, you know, just black and white, that could be very different depending on the program. And that's where some of the benefits come in for different programs. So if we're looking at an FHA versus a conventional, for example, they allow for a higher total debt to income ratio. So people going FHA doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they have any credit issues or less money. Just maybe they don't have as much of a gap in their debt to income to go with the conventional loan. So they fit into an FHA and that works better for them. But I guess based on the feedback I'm seeing or hearing from my borrowers that are having issues getting their offers accepted, it seems that cash offers are still, you know, reign supreme in the market. Conventional, of course, would be after that. Conventional with a cash guarantee from us. We are seeing more FHA and VA get approved. USDA also falls into that category. Those are three of the what we call govies, the government loans. They are insured by government agencies. So they all have, you know, VA obviously is a great option for the veterans. USDA is a property specific loan. So if you're in like a rural area, the property has to qualify. And there's also income restrictions for a lot of these programs too. So if we're looking at like a first time home buyer program, like a Sunnie Mae, that stands for State of New York Mortgage Agency, you can't make over a certain amount of money in the household, not just the borrower. But those programs come with good benefits as well, where you can get down payment assistance. So it's taking a look at the getting everyone's information first and then kind of comparing and contrasting between the different programs and seeing what fits best with their specific scenario.
So let me ask you a question on VA mortgages. I'm a veteran, mm-hmm. and I bought my first house, I think, in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to use the VA, you know, the VA loan. I wanted, you know, I had my DD, what is it, 214
yep.
form. I had everything already. And I have tried, you know, I've attempted to use it a couple of times since then. Every time I went to use it, the mortgage representative that I used or the banker would say there's better programs for you than the VA.
Hmm.
And is that still hold true? Or is somebody, if they're a veteran, the VA is about the best deal for them? I mean, I think the first couple I bought, I went FHA.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought investment properties and then traded up. And for those of you that do owner-occupied investment properties, you can move to a better area or a smaller number of units, I think. I bought a four-family, then I went to a two-family, then I went to a single-family, and then I just ended up drifting away from FHA. But is that still, you know, I mean, is VA got significant benefits? Or is it just make us that we're veterans feel good that we're using the VA? Does it still like FHA still typically just as good or easier to get?
Well, I would, as far as benefits for veterans in the VA loan, at Premium, we waive our like lender fees. There's no processing fee. There's no origination fee. So you are paying less out of pocket at closing. There's also no down payment required as a veteran. So you would save money there as well. But as far as it comparing to FHA, I think it's pretty much on the same playing field from what I've seen, at least. But I wouldn't, as a being a veteran, I wouldn't steer you away from using your VA benefit. I would encourage you to use it.
Now, Premium's a veteran-owned company.
Yes, yep.
You know, I know Mike served in does he do that, or is that a standard, like waiving the fees, is that a standard practice, or is that Mike just playing it forward, I guess?
Well, VA does have specific rules on the fees that you can charge. So as far as if he's doing it as a courtesy or if it's a VA rule, I'm not sure. But I think there's less fees that you're able to charge for a VA, so it might be just falling into that category where we're getting rid of some of those for you.
Now, I don't remember what mortgage company I used because it was a long time ago, but it makes me wonder if I was, you know, pushed a little bit towards FHA instead of VA because made less money.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, the other thing we, you know, talked about, I mean, people, you know, right now the culture is, you know, they don't even submit an offer until they have a pre-approval letter. You know, it used to be they'd write in the offer. If there weren't multiple offers, they'd write in, you know, we'll provide you one within a revised one. Here's one from another property that we put an offer in on, but we'll give you a revised one for this purchase price within 24 hours. Now, don't even bother submitting an offer unless you've got a pre-approval. And one of the other things that I think is for a buyer, the kiss of death is using an online or out-of-state borrower. You know, I mean, I've had, you know, and I guess our as an agent, our hands are tied a little bit. We can't carte blanche say, I'm not going to let you use Arkansas Savings and Loan, you know. But I will tell you that if I've got something from Premium Mortgage or M&T Bank or, you know, a lender that I know, you know, and they, I mean, those of us that have been in business for a while, we know most everybody. And you go, yeah, they've been proven true time and time again. You know, I'm going to be like advising my clients, you know, yeah, I don't know who that bank is. And I've had that happen with a Texas bank. I mean, I just said, look, can you get a pre-approval for my peace of mind? I don't think we can do that anymore, but can you get a, you know, pre-approval from a local lender? And come to find out the guy had approved them on it based on the taxes that they have in Texas.
Well, and I think that that's a really a deeper point that goes on to our whole industry. What Jeff just said is what's happening. We talk about AI on the show sometimes. We see this stuff with big national companies that have websites. I think what is going to transpire, what you're going to see in the next couple of years, is people coming back to the local market because it's a verification of what we found online. Yeah, I can get a great rate from, you know, some bank out in California, but until it gets verified by somebody locally, we really aren't just going to hold up onto it just because you don't really know what you found online. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot. So looks like we're heading into a break here. When we come back, give us a call at News Radio WHAM 1180, 222-1180. Welcome back to House Talk, 222-1180, or News Radio WHAM 1180. Jeff's going to make fun of me again for misspeaking. Every time I come back, I'd get tongue-tied there. So, again, News Radio WHAM 1180, 222-1180. Looking forward to your calls. Before we left, we were just talking some mortgage stuff with Jamie from Premium Mortgage. And a question that I get quite often is people who buy a house and then they want to do work to it after they just closed. And they're trying to find funding. They're trying to secure funding. And they're running into that brick wall of they don't have equity in the house yet. So what are some things people can do after they buy the house? Or what could they do before they buy the house? What kind of programs are out there for someone to secure funding to do that repair work that needs to be done?
Yeah, we're starting to see that a lot more lately. People that are finding homes on the market and that need either minor work or major work that they want to have at least rolled into the mortgage or figure out a way that they can pay for it after the fact. So I would say getting that situated before you start the mortgage process is the best way to go, because in that case, we can go a renovation loan route. So there's a couple different kinds, whether you need structural improvements, health and safety improvements on the home, necessary things to make the home safe and livable. There's also programs if you wanted to put in that, you know, more cosmetic luxury items, like if you wanted to put in like your swimming pool or your nice deck outside, something like that. But getting that secured prior to a mortgage application would be ideal, since trying to do it after the fact would mean that you'd have to go like a home equity route or a cash out refinance route. And like you said, waiting to do that means you don't really have the equity in the home right away. So you would have to wait some time before you're able to do that.
So what are some of the programs out there? Say I'm looking for a house out there in the, you know, one of the nicer areas that has a little competition, and the houses that we're finding, you know, they really need a updated kitchen. Maybe there's a roof that's at the end of its life that in the next 2 or 3 years is going to need to be put on the roof. And I'm buying the house at ask or a little over ask. It appraises out in that general area, but I've put my 80% or my 20% down, 80%'s been financed. But if I put, you know, $40,000 back into this house, it goes from, you know, it adds $60,000 worth of value to the house by investing it. Mm-hmm. What products are out there for those, for folks in that scenario?
Both FHA and conventional have an option for renovation loans. FHA is the 203K option. The conventional is the home style renovation loan. FHA, again, is going to be for, that would be the recommended one for the roof, the structural things. That would be where you'd have to get a consultant to come in, take a look at the work that needs to be done, price it out for you, get a contractor to come in, price it out for you, have everything set before you close, and then the work can start after you close within a certain period of time. You just can't have like a friend, a family member. It has to be a licensed contractor with all the proper insurances, things like that. Conventional would allow a little bit more leniency where you could do some of the work yourself if you're handy, but we would still need to see licensed contractors.
And that's one of the other businesses that I own is All County Home Improvements. We are those people. We work with a couple local 203K consultants out there. I'd give you their names, but they're also competition in my home inspection business, so I'll keep that to myself. But yes, we actually work with a lot of different vendors to do that, and that's something that we help coordinate for people, and you can find us at 585-773-4001, All County Home Improvements, All County Home Inspections. And there was one other question we talked about on break, which was a little more specific to certain zip codes in the city. There's some revitalization grants. Ooh. Am I correct in what we were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Sunny Mae, so State of New York Mortgage Agency, has a grant for certain zip codes within the city if you wanted to do work up to $20,000 after you close. So that would be a grant that it's not like a renovation loan. It's money that's given to you to do the work after the fact. It's not rolled into the mortgage. So the same process would be in place. You'd have to have a HUD consultant come out, take a look at the work that needs to be done, a contractor come out and kind of match the estimates, make sure everything matches with what is necessary from the HUD consultant. And then the grant would be given based on the values of what the work is.
So the after improvement values.
After improvement, yeah.
Okay.
Is there a amount of time they have to hold on to the property if they take one of these, like the FHA 203? What are they?
Yeah, so with Sunny Mae, you would have to have the home for at least 10 years. In order to not have to pay any recapture fee back.
That's
so
right.
There it'd be a prorated amount of the grant that you're given, and the same is in place for the down payment assistance option that they have as well. Down payment assistance grant, the 10-year mark is in place for that too.
Okay, I hear us heading back out till break, and hopefully we could pick this conversation back up when we come back from break.
Welcome back to House Talk. We would love to get your calls, 585-222-1180. I'm Jamie Messner from Premium Mortgage.
And Mike, I've had you consult with some clients here just recently on a magnitude of different things, ranging from mold. And we had a house that they had people lined up to do, the clean out. It's an estate sale. And when I was there, they had not even begun the clean out. So, I couldn't see a lot. And I met you out there last week and we saw some significant cracks in the foundation, and which I didn't see before. And you consulted a structural guy, given some ideas of how serious is it, what are some fixes. I know in the past I've seen people do stuff from pouring, I assume poured or maybe blocked, I don't know, like 2-foot by 2-foot things in front of the Boeing to keep it from going anymore. And then there's the meshing that they can use. But you were telling me about a couple other, you talked to the structural guy and he came up with a couple other ideas.
Yeah, it's funny how technology has changed even the way we do construction, because back in the day, you'd start seeing these horizontal cracks in a bow and a wall and a foundation. It was jack up the foundation and put a new foundation wall in, put a new structural wall in. And that still may be an option, but our conversation at dinner on Friday night went down the rabbit hole of Carbon fiber strapping is one way to do it. It's a mesh that goes on, and it goes on. It looks like fabric, but when the epoxy hardens, it's stronger than steel. So you could sometimes see like a steel rebar or steel bar put in front of an I-beam, put in front of a Boeing wall. Those technologies still exist, but they're old. They're older. And now the dinner conversation was how they can core the top of the blocks and fill it with a liquid mortar, a liquid concrete that makes it a solid concrete wall versus a block wall. So on that particular case, we'll be meeting with an engineer on Wednesday, and he's going to give us his written report saying, here's how you should fix this. And that's one of the things I stress with our clients a lot is you really want an engineer to tell you how to fix it, because, you know, for $300 to $500, you're going to get a plan on how to do this repair. Versus, you know, a contractor who may have 20 years, 30 years experience, but they've been doing it the old way for the last 15 years, and they haven't kept up with technology, or they have kept up with technology, and they just don't have the same expertise as an engineer who's going to really come up with that written plan to say, this is how you should fix your foundational issue. So it has been a really neat journey in that space of how do you fix things that, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the right way was a certain way that is no longer used because of our advancements in technology.
First of all, you must be a riveting dinner guest.
Oh, my wife makes fun of me all the time. Like, you don't talk about anything but building, construction, and inspections, so it's a lot of fun.
I hope my girlfriend's listening, because I get that too.
That's why she sits at the other end of the table and talks to other people and just ignores
and rolls her eyes a lot.
Yeah. That's happy Mother's Day to you out there, honey. Uh-huh.
The interesting thing too, though, is that, you know, having the inspector look at it, the structural inspector, you know, look at it, he'll give you a price. This is what it's going to cost to have us fix it or have it fixed. Correct?
Correct. Yep. Usually an engineer is going to basically put that entire process together for you, just so you can have a peace of mind that it's being fixed by the plan has been put together by someone who has no financial interest in the price point of the repair. If you've got a contractor who comes in who may be great, he may be selling you the Cadillac when you really need the Chevy. It's a business model. There are some guys out there that do that. And there's nothing wrong with it, because the Cadillac is really good. You know, it's a really nice thing that you have. But that's not what you needed. You needed the Chevy version. So that's why, you know, I use a lot the analogy we use going to a doctor. And it's like, you know, you always go to the general doctor before you go to the surgeon. You don't just show up to the knee surgeon because your knee hurts. Well, maybe some physical therapy and some anti-inflammatories will take care of it. But the surgeon's going to put a knife to it, and he's going to take care of it too. So that we use that in houses all the time is go to the doctor before you go to the surgeon.
The benefit of doing it that way from my aspect and selling it is the owners, I mean, they would be, it'd be in their financial best interest to go ahead and get it done. But also, if you have the estimate there, we can load it right up online so everybody can see it. And it takes the scary feeling like, well, this could be a $50,000 repair. I mean, I was talking about a house I had years ago that had water come through and, you know, just rainwater, and it just funneled a ditch and wiped out part of the foundation. And I had, you know, one person look at it going, this is going to be like $40,000 to $60,000. I ended up getting it repaired, you know, concrete wall poured back in for about $5,500. You know, so think about if I was selling it then, there'd be, you know, 90% of the people would be scared off because they don't know about it. So, you know, these people are going to benefit whether they do the work or don't do the work. They'll still have the estimate, and it's worth that $400 or $500.
Yeah, and that's a big thing with the real estate industry or the sale is, you know, disclosure is always the big question. Do you, don't you? Do you want to know? Do you not want to know? All of those questions gets asked. But in some scenarios like this, once they cleared that basement out, there was no way to not miss this flaw in the house. It was there. So now it was an unanswered question. The seller could have just jumped into it and said, you know what, we're going to lowball our price. We're going to absorb that missing information in the sale price and sell it to an investor for $30,000, $40,000 less than they could otherwise. Now the engineers are going to come in and give them a price to make them make that decision or allow them to make that decision with information, not an impulse. So, you know, wait 3 or 4 days for the engineer's plan, and maybe he comes back and says it's $5,000-$6,000 to fix. Well, that house now, is you fix that, is going to sell for $10,000 or $12,000 more than they put in the five. They may still just say we're going to sell it as is, but now we have an answer for the person who wants to buy it. It's not a $50,000 repair. This engineer told you it's a $5,000 repair. So that's all we're going to entertain.
And I mean, most repairs aren't that astronomically expensive. I mean, I had investors that would buy auction homes and flip them. And I sold several properties. It was a family of, you know, father and two or three sons that would remodel these. And I looked at a property and, like, literally the wall in the basement was crumbling in. And I was like, wow, I can't believe, you know. And I go, what are you going to do with this? He goes, well, we're going to dig it out, put a new wall in.
Yeah. If you do it for a living, it's not scary. It's not a big deal. It's when you don't do it for a living, you know, you do something else for a living, and then this guy comes in and he may see you coming and realize there's some money to be put in there. You may have another contractor who just has a different option.
Well, speaking of doing something else for a living, everybody thinks they can GC a project. And I ran into a past client that sold them a house, it's got to be 10, 15 years ago now, and they hired a contractor to do a bunch of work and called me up. You know, and I mean, I wasn't involved with it. I just sold them the house. You know, she called me up basically looking for advice and I think a shoulder to cry on. And she said, you know, that they keep asking for the next draw, but the work's not getting done. And I thought, you know, they're both she and her husband are, you know, very, very smart people, but it's not their forte. And, you know, after, long story short, I said, well, you know, how much was the total job, you know? And it was like $140,000. And I said, how much do you have left? She was like $25,000. And I go, how far along are they? She goes, 50%. And my response to her at the time was, get a hold of your attorney because you got a problem. You know, and they did. I mean, that contractor ended up not finishing the job. They had to sue the contractor. But which brings to my point, you know, if that's not your area of expertise, you should hire a general contractor. And Mike, how would somebody find a general contractor that would GC the job, not do it themselves, but, you know, coordinate that?
Well, the best phone number is 585-773-4001. That would put you through to All County Home Improvements, All County Home Inspections. We do GC work all the time. We also work with a program that's even a little different than that through International Association of Home Inspectors called Oversee It. And really, that's what we are, is we're there as a overseer of the project. We're not signing the contracts. We're not, you know, finding the contractors, but we are making sure the contractor's doing the work that they've agreed to do, because a lot of people don't know what, you know, a stem wall should look like when a contractor's putting it in. We do. People don't know what stage the electric should be at when it's time. And I'm hearing the music in my ear. We'll pick this conversation up when we come back to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180.
Welcome back to House Talk. This is Jeff Schofield, RE/MAX Plus, 600-5333. Mike, let's continue on with that conversation, though, as far as the GC. You know, you would never recommend somebody do a timed draw, would you?
Correct. I would never look at it saying, oh, we're going to give you $5,000 a week or $2,000 a week. You want any draws that are going out there are going to be built on completion and timetables. So an example would be you're putting in an addition and the town has to come in and approve all of the structural work that was done. That draw is going to happen after the town comes in and gives that certification, basically saying, yep, we've made this bench point. We've hit this bench point. You could also hire a third-party inspector to come in, and we do that. We do a lot of large new builds where we're doing pre-drywall inspections, where we're coming in and saying we're not seeing anything that is out of the ordinary. That's in addition to what the town has done, because the contractor has their person saying we're ready. The AHJ, which is the authority having jurisdiction, so that means the governmental body that's in that area comes in and gives their certifications and their code compliance. Now, you as the person writing the check probably wants a third party to come in and say, hey, from my point of view, we're in a good place too, because the contractor's being taken care of, the city or town's being taken care of. Well, how about you, the guy spending the money, the girl spending the money? So always build that in there. And the other mistake that I think we see people make all the time is they allow, especially in smaller scale, mid-scale projects, not new builds, they allow the contractor to write the contract without you having any input. So a contractor's going to come in and say, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get paid, and you just signed that contract, and now you're on the hook. you need to step back and look at that and say, wait a minute, where's my interest being protected in here so they don't just come in and, you know, draw $5,000 a week for 10 weeks and all of a sudden you don't have any money left on your $50,000 bathroom and kitchen remodel. And it's half done. Well, now what do? You spend 3 years fighting to get that money back. You win a judgment for a business that's gone out of business and you're in trouble. So always have someone come in and look at that contract. Hire an attorney. Hire a contractor that is on your half, not the builder's half. So that's always a recommendation we make.
I wholeheartedly agree with that because, you know, a lot of people, you know, successful people in business and other, you know, fields feel like they have this high level. Well, they do have a high level of self-efficacy, like, hey, I'm good at this. I can do that also. You know, but it's like if all of a sudden I have a tumor, I'm not going to sit down on Dr. Google and, you know, WebMD and try to diagnose it myself. I'm going to get to a doctor and say, hey, what do you think?
Right. Yep. Well, and you want to get those second and third opinions that you really need to make your decision. You have to remember it's you making the decision with input from other people. And your contractor is one of those other people. Your real estate agent is one of those other people. They're giving you the tools to make your decision. It's important that you are making the decision.
So we have a going off on one of the other topics we hit on. We have a mutual acquaintance who, you know, is a roofer. Scott Reeves, if you need him. And he's been a good source, as of you, for when I need specialty professionals. And you know, I remember one time somebody said, we want the house inspected by a licensed roofer and shown that it has, for FHA, shown that it has at least 2 years lifespan left on the roof. And I, you know, Scott mentioned, he goes, there really is no licensing for roofers. You know, and I think the only thing there's really a license for are electricians and plumbers, aren't there?
Correct. And really, electricians are a kind of a hit or miss license. Each city, town, county will make their own rules on what licensing requirements are. So the city of Rochester has a very stringent licensing requirement. Most of our suburbs in Rochester don't have that. They require the contractor to show up with insurance, pay their annual fee, and show that they're a legitimate business. So there really is no licensing for the trades in Monroe County in New York State.
And Mike, if somebody wants you?
585-773-4001.
Jamie?
585-944-8876.
And this is Jeff Schofield. I'm at 600-JEFF, 600-5333. See you next week.